You're listening to Unceded Airwaves by the Indigenous Collective at CITR 101.9 FM.
We haven't even been dangerous. Are we on the rise? You haven't even seen nothing yet. Turn it up. Where you're up.
We ain't not dangerous, us, but we can be dangerous. We ain't not dangerous, us, but we can be dangerous.
Us, but we can be dangerous. We ain't not dangerous. Us, but we can be dangerous.
We are so indigenous. Us, fully beat is glorious. Us, grand entry is glorious. Us, drumming is victorious. Us, no one can stop us, nah.
Unceded Airwaves is broadcasting from the traditional, ancestral, unceded lands. All right, you're listening to Unceded Airwaves on CITR 101.9 FM. You're listening to me. I'm Lisa Gerbov, and I'm joined in the studio by Nikita.
Hello.
So, I'm Nikita. we're going to start off today's show. Actually, we already started off today's show with JB, the First Lady, and that was Dangerous. Unceded Airwaves is broadcasting every week from the traditional, ancestral, and unceded lands of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people. My name is Lisa Gerbov. I'm from a mixed heritage. I'm Tsimshian on my mother's side and Norwegian and Romanian heritage on my father's side. I grew up on the northwest coast in my territory in the city of Prince Rupert, and I acknowledge that I am an uninvited guest on the Musqueam territory while I study on the UBC campus.
And my name is Nikita Day. I'm from the Tahltan Nation on my dad's side, and on my mom's side, I'm German. I'm originally from Telegraph Creek, but I actually grew up in Smithers, which is on Wet'suwet'en territory, and I'm a third-year student here at UBC, majoring in GRSJ.
And we actually didn't grow up too far from each other. Prince Rupert and Smithers are, what is it, maybe 3.5 hours
drive? Yeah, 3.5, 4 hours apart, I think.
Yeah, on Highway 16?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. And Mario grew up for some time in half in Prince Rupert and half in Hazleton.
Yeah, it's really interesting because I don't meet a lot of people from small northern towns. Yeah, so it's cool.
Except for when we all meet here with the Indigenous Collective, it seems we all congregate together. I find that happens in Prince Rupert as well. A lot of my friends from Prince Rupert, we kind of stick together. Like a little Northwest group, like we all have something that relates
found
us together.
Each other somehow.
Yeah, this. Exactly. We're just all magnetized. But continuing with the show, I just wanted to thank you, our listeners, for tuning into season 2, episode 8. I can't believe we're already on our 8th episode.
I know, it's crazy.
So today we're talking about a film that came out of the Tahltan Nation called We Are Speaking Our Language Again. And Nikita speaks to Judy Thompson about the film. And in addition to that, we have a segment that's contributed by another Indigenous Collective member, Josh Gabert-Doyon. And I hope that I pronounced that right this time. About the Kinder Morgan demonstration that happened in Vancouver on November 19th. And we're going to be having a little discussion about what this means now that the federal government has approved the expansion that is as of yesterday. So we're going to be talking a bit about that. We also touch on the upcoming 150th birthday next year with a clip from George Erasmus.
So this show is put together every week by UBC's Indigenous Radio Collective. We are a collective of Indigenous and non-Indigenous students who use this weekly airtime to discuss issues, current events, and entertainment. We use this weekly airtime as an opportunity for our own self-representation here.
Which is amazing. Self-representation in the media is not something that Indigenous people are often afforded or have access to. So this gives us the opportunity to define who we are as Indigenous people instead of relying on inaccurate representations in broadcast media, which is why we take the time at the beginning of every show to introduce ourselves, just to let you know who we are. It can be difficult to find relatable Indigenous role models and people in the media more generally. So this is our opportunity to really highlight people within the Indigenous community who are doing some really amazing things.
Yes, and if you would like to get involved, you can always send us a message on social media. We have an Indigenous collective meeting tomorrow, actually, from 4 to 5.
Which is our last one of the year.
I know.
Until January. So tomorrow is going to be a really good one. We're going to be talking about tying up the rest of the knots for the rest of this school year, talking about some cool events. I'm trying to arrange kind of like a social gathering. Maybe we can go out for some food or something outside of the radio show.
I would be very down for that, yes.
Yeah, like I'm calling it a winter solstice party because I don't want to include or exclude anyone who celebrates holidays in December. So that's what I'd like to see. Basically, that's what the meeting is about tomorrow. So come by.
Okay, yeah. So come on down if you want to know more about that. It's it's from 4 to 5 p.m. at CITR, which is in the Nest. And there will be snacks as well. So.
Every week, come by. Hang out with us.
We have pretty good snacks. if this show is something that you identify with, then we really encourage you to come out, and everyone is welcome. There's no experience necessary. And if you want to get involved, but you're hesitant about being on air, there are plenty of other ways that you can participate in this collective.
Yeah, including you can just come into the station. You can sit in on one of our shows, see what's happening. Usually it's pretty chaotic when we're on the air, but it gives you a chance to see really how the show is put together. But our goal with this show is to center the voices of Indigenous people and to create narratives that empower our stories. You can follow us on Facebook and on Twitter at Unceded Airwaves. And if you have an Indigenous artist that we should know about, whether that is somebody who is international, maybe Indigenous to some other part of the world, or maybe there's someone who is local and who is up and coming. You know, you have a friend who's making a mixtape, but it's just well produced. You know, you can always make music suggestions for the show to get them airtime by sending us a tweet using the hashtag Unceded Music, or you can also send us a Facebook message at Unceded Airwaves, and we will do our best to get it on the air. And if we play the song that you send us, we will also give you a shout out. So that's also very important.
Yes, we would love to hear from you, our listeners, what Indigenous artists you're into right now, what events you're attending or promoting. And as always, we'll post a link to the podcast for this episode after the show. We'll have the weekly Unceded events listing to share with you later in the show as well. And we're going to start out with some music first. So we've been...
We actually have a new song that we're going to be playing. A little bit later on in the show, we have a new song from Tribe Called Red, Alai Nation. Yeah, they have a music video out for that one. And so we're going to be playing that song a little bit later on. But before then, we have a segment that we want to play with Judy Thompson. So this is your segment.
Yes, it is. This is my first ever segment.
Your first Nikita only pre-produced segment that you have put together.
Yes, with a lot of help from Lisa.
Well, no. I think you did a lot of the work. I mean, you arranged the interview with Judy. Yes. You had her here in the studio,
which was great.
Yeah, she actually lives in Prince George right now.
Yeah, but luckily we managed to catch her while she was in Vancouver, so we actually had her sitting down in the studio with us, which was really, really great. She has so much knowledge about the things that are happening right now within the Tahltan Nation. So she gave us a lot to work with, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, yeah, you interviewed her. How was that process? I mean, your first interview.
I was a little nervous, not going to lie, but Judy is such a kind person that she just made it so comfortable for me. And yeah, like I said, I think it went really well. And there's such great things happening right now with the Tahltan Language Revitalization Project, which is what this film will be speaking on. So,
awesome. And so this podcast, segment rather, is going to be uploaded onto our SoundCloud account, so you can find it there. We're going to post that onto our social media as well for you. So before we get going on this clip, our continued thoughts are with the occupation camps near and far, that is Standing Rock, as well as the Leelu Island Warriors, Unist'ot'en Camp, and Maddie Lee, who are up in the Northwest. But we're going to start off with this interview segment by Nikita. This is We Are Speaking Our Language Again. Check it out.
My name is Nikita Day. I'm a member of the Tahltan Nation, and I sat down with Judy Thompson to talk about a new film on the Tahltan language called We Are Speaking Our Language Again.
Zinez Hoti'a, Adosti Usha, Talsi Tondi Dena, Jasini. My name is Judy Thompson. My Tahltan name is Adosti, which means someone who raises up pets and children. I'm a member of the Tahltan Nation. My clan is Tseskia, which is Crow. And I was born and raised in Prince Rupert on Tsimshian Territory.
Judy has been working as the Tahltan Language and Culture Lead for the past 4 years and is an assistant professor in First Nation Studies at the University of British Columbia. We asked Judy how to pronounce the film's title in the Tahltan language.
Okay, I'll try. I don't say it very well, but it's Dahlaga Nodethide, in which means we are speaking our language again. We'd been working on the Language Revitalization Project for about 3 years, and I know Michael Borkwin, he's a Tahltan filmmaker, he's done some amazing work. He did a documentary on his grandfather, Loveman Noel, Dutsia Keke. And as part of the language framework that I developed, it's really important to promote our language and also to share what we're doing with others. And so I just thought, if we could utilize Michael's skills and his training and all the amazing work he's done, if he could work with us to document our language work, that would be great. And so when I was able to hire him in July, he got started fairly quickly. And then he also came to Prince George and interviewed me there. He went over to Victoria to interview some people as well, to go to, like, so there's the Masters in Indigenous Language Revitalization. He was over there when they were in class. He also went up a few times to, you know, to take all that beautiful footage of our territory, and as well to, you know, to record, go into the language nest. He went at least twice, maybe three times. And so I guess it took us about a year.
We also asked Judy to speak about some of the key people we would be seeing in the film.
There's quite a few, but I guess my favorites are the language nest. To me, that's our strength, to show, you know, to see these babies learning the language and speaking the language. And one person is Teresa Idzurtsa. My favorite part is where she's talking to one of the young children, and they're just laughing and just smiling at each other. And then right away you see her with this little baby boy, and she's rocking him and talking to him and feeding him his bottle. And it's just so amazing. She's speaking Tahltan to these babies, you know, and they're picking it up. And as well, Regina Louie. So again, all of our fluent speakers, like, they're so important. Angela Dennis, Pat Idzurtsa. With our adult language program, a lot of them are working as mentors in that. And so they're, without them, we couldn't be doing what we're doing. Then we also had all our students as well. And we've got students who are elders. Like, we've got Kitty Brown, who is learning the language. And it's so amazing to see her in there. And she's just doing so well.
What does that mean? I'm still tired? I do what?
I do sugar yesterday.
I do sugar yesterday.
Michael shows a portion of the work that he did on his documentary, Dutsia Keke, and so it shows the work that they did with Angela Dennis, and everything was translated. It was transcribed and then translated into Tahltan, which was done by Angela Dennis, and so it's all dubbed in Tahltan. And actually, the other scene that always chokes me up is Ishkadi was talking about the work that... See, I'm going to get choked up now. They're talking about the work that they did on the documentary on their grandfather, and how they said that Angela Dennis is the only person that has those skills to, like, transcribe the language and then translate it. So she took the English language, all the recordings, they transcribed it for her, and then she translated it into Tahltan, and, you know, she's able to write it, and she knows how to make that translation. And he just said, great respect for that woman. And I'm just like, it's so true. She's just amazing. And I mean, she is priceless. She's, without her, I don't know where we'd be. And so it's just so great to hear him, a young man, acknowledge how special and how important she is to our nation.
Lastly, Judy spoke on why it is so important that a film like this be made, as well as some of the goals they hope to achieve in the future.
I thought it was really important to promote the language and the work we're doing with our people, to let them see what we're doing, because a lot of it's not seen, because, you know, people aren't coming into the nests. They don't see the babies or hear the babies speaking. We also wanted, again, the language program, we're hoping that other people would get excited about the language, and that's actually what happened. I remember at the AGA, there were a lot of young people saying, hey, I want to be in a language nest. How can I be in a language nest? And that's actually another thing we want to do, is have a language house, which would be all Tahltan language, and adults could go there and work on the language. So Yeah, so that's one of the things, is to make sure that we're getting out, you know, what we're doing to our people, and to promote the language, and hopefully that it grows, you know, that other people want to learn our language, and as well to share with other nations what we're doing so that we can help others. And as well, there's lots that we need to be learning as well, so hopefully we can make connections with other nations. Just showed this at a conference I went to in Santa Fe last week, and so there were a lot of people from the Navajo Nation, a lot of nations from all over the United States, and they got really excited about it, so I was able to share the link with them, and so they're emailing me and making connections. And I also showed it in July at another big meeting I went to in Edmonton, and again, I'm still getting emails from people about that, saying, actually, yeah, there was two that were really memorable. One was saying that watching the young men like Ishkadi Tlooks and Oscar Dennis recording and documenting the language with their elders, this one woman said, it's made my young son think, hey, I can do that. I'm going to start doing that. I just got an email from someone the other day saying that it's really wonderful to see the work you're doing, and I want to start a language nest too. So I emailed her back and said, hey, if I can help in any way to, you know, or point you in the right direction, and can tell you what, you know, what we've done and where I learned this information. So, yeah, I think it's just to be able to share and make those connections with other nations.
I'd like to take this time to thank Judy Thompson for talking with us about the film We Are Speaking Our Language Again. My name is Nikita Day, and you are listening to Unceded Airwaves at CITR's 101.9 FM. Broadcasting from the traditional, ancestral, and unceded lands of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
Are you not ready to start final exams just yet? Escape into a wintry wonderland filled with a cappella festivity at UBC A Cappella's 2016 Winter Concert. On December 4th, they will be hosting two shows, a matinee at 2 p.m. and an evening show at 6 p.m. Check it out by going to UBC A Cappella on Facebook.
Open Media International is a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization working towards informed, citizen-driven internet policy. Open Media believes in keeping the internet uncensored, open, innovative, secure, and providing universal access to fast and affordable networks. If you would like Open Media to keep campaigning for citizens and internet policy, you can donate to them at openmedia.org or openmedia.ca. You can also find them on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and Google+.
All right, you heard Nikita Day with her segment on the topic of We Are Speaking Our Language Again, which was an interview with Judy Thompson, who is also of the Tahltan Nation. So we're really grateful that clip came together, and you can find that on our SoundCloud account. We're going to post that on our social media after the show. So next up, we have a segment that has been contributed by our Indigenous Collective member, Josh Gabert Doyon, and he went out to the Trans Mountain Kinder Morgan Pipeline demonstration that happened on November 17th. And so he went out there, he got some audio of some of the speeches that were happening. He spoke to a few people on the street and got an overall feel about how the demonstration had gone about. He took a lot of time to create this segment, and we were really grateful for that. So we just wanted to play the segment that he produced. And so I'm just going to play it, and then we're going to have a little chat about the Kinder Morgan decision that came out yesterday, where Trudeau's federal government actually approved the project, among other things. Here it is.
Hello, you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from the traditional, ancestral, and unceded territory of the Coast Salish people. My name is Josh. I'm a white settler originally from Mohawk Territory, and this is Unceded Airwaves from CITR's Indigenous Collective. Over 4,000 people attended a demonstration against the Kinder Morgan Trans Mountain Pipeline on November 19th. Water and land protectors met at Vancouver City Hall with drums and noisemakers, ready for a fiery demonstration in Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh territories. Despite the demonstration, the federal government approved the project on Tuesday, November 29th. This is what First Nations activists and politicians had to say prior to the decision. The Kinder Morgan Trans Mountain Pipeline currently carries crude oil from Edmonton, Alberta to the coast of British Columbia. The pipeline expansion would result in more tanker traffic, increasing the chance of a disastrous oil spill. If an oil spill were to occur, it would likely result in the widespread oil damage to the coast and to Indigenous lifeways. 17 First Nations have refused to give their consent to the pipeline passing through their territory at various points. Moving from City Hall to the Cambie Street Bridge, marchers were met by supporters in canoes and kayaks paddling below. From the Cambie Street Bridge, the march proceeded to the Vancouver Public Library, blocking off intersections with a drum circle and dancing. The event was organized by the group Climate Convergence Metro Vancouver, with buses from all parts of the province bringing Indigenous and non-Indigenous folks to Vancouver for the demonstration. Kinder Morgan has a history of oil spills, and adding to these concerns was the recent diesel spill in the Halestuck Territory from the Nathan E. Stewart tugboat.
My name's Gary Nisloss. I'm Kittisu. I stand with the Haistra. I'm here today in solidarity with the rest of the nations. I'm here to stop the tankers and coming through our coast. If tankers come through our coast, it's not just the tankers we've got to worry about. As you know, they lost a barge, a tug. It wasn't even a barge that sank. It was a tug. The small spill like that is going to happen. It's going to be devastating if we have a barge leak this dirty oil in our waters. Diesel has done enough. Like I said, it's a small amount of diesel, but it still is devastating. Well, we don't want tankers in our water. That's why I'm here today. We stand in solidarity in our Coast Salish territory.
The Nathan E. Stewart tugboat went aground in the Halestuck territory near the Great Bear Rainforest, and the gale passed. It was owned by the Texas-based Kirby Corporation, and the accident resulted in the spill of over 100,000 liters of diesel in the Pacific. At the Vancouver Public Library, Saul Brown from the Halestuck Nation was one of the speakers.
The Coast Salish peoples. So, good afternoon, people from all nations, chiefs, matriarchs, climate protectors. My name is Ajispa, and I come from the Halestuck Nation in what is known as Bella Bella, or the Great Bear Rainforest. I come from Himas Gladliasila's house, which is my father and my grandfather's house. And recently, in our homelands, in our waters, there was a tragic happening on October 13th of this year. A tug went down and ran aground in our oceans. It went down in Gokwe, or Gale Creek, which is a place that holds over 25 species. Mussels, clams, deer, whales have been spotted in this area. And this tug, it went down and over 100,000 liters of contaminants soaked into our territories. And cut to the heart of this issue today. Cuts to the heart of this issue right now.
That's right.
Of Kinder Morgan, of oil tankers, of pipelines. Because when something like this happens, it's the Indigenous people that bear the brunt of the ecological devastation. There was this rhetoric, we've all heard it, world-class oil response. We only lifted the tug 2 days ago. Over 34 days, we couldn't get the tug out. Our coast is beautiful. It's as wealthy as it is treacherous. But that's the thing. That beauty is a wild, untamed beauty.
Among those speaking at the event was Union of BC Indian Chiefs Grand Chief Stuart Phillip and his wife Joan Phillip, Ian Campbell of the Squamish First Nation, Musqueam activist Audrey Siegel, and Cedar Parker of the Sabletooth Nation. Melanie Libukan-Massimo, Libukan Cree, Indigenous Environmental Network, and Greenpeace had this to say.
In Alberta, we actually already have 400,000 kilometers of pipeline crisscrossing our homelands. And we know intimately the damage that is causing to our communities, the land, and the water. I myself have seen massive pipeline spills in my home community and have experienced the aftermath of what it's like to see my family, my community, the land, and the water being poisoned. If Trudeau approves this pipeline, he can no longer say that he wants to build a new relationship with Indigenous peoples. When our communities have repeatedly said no, he can no longer say he respects our communities if he does not listen to our voices. A just transition to renewable energy needs to happen now and needs to prioritize the communities that have been detrimentally impacted from fossil fuel extraction for far too long. And this is why last year in my home community, we installed one of the largest solar projects in northern Alberta, and it powers our community health center. This is the change we need to see. Not more pipelines like the Kinder Morgan pipeline or the Dakota Access in North Dakota. I just spent actually the last week with youth from Standing Rock who ran from their homeland to Washington, D.C. And I told him I would stand here today and say that we stand in solidarity with those brothers and sisters who are standing on the front lines in North Dakota and Standing Rock.
Also speaking were Vancouver Mayor Gregor Robinson and Burnaby Mayor Derek Corrigan. Leader of the Green Party of Canada, Elizabeth May, addressed Albertan politicians' support for the pipeline.
A message to Rachel Notley. Think about what works for the economy, Alberta. A message for Justin Trudeau. Think like a country and don't pit one province against the other. We stand.
Overall, however, resentment was focused against the federal government. Many called out Trudeau for his enthusiasm for the pipeline.
Anta Cecilia Point, Talitsanatwa Musqueam. My name's Cecilia Point from the Musqueam First Nation. So I'm here first and foremost because this is my territory, and I like to know what's going on in my territory. So, and I also need to protect my territory. So I was here today with my cousins and my daughter to make sure that our voices are heard. And I also had an opportunity to speak to my First Nations people while we were singing and drumming, and I asked them to stop singing the Canadian National Anthem. In solidarity with all First Nations, we should follow the lead of our brothers and sisters in the States with Black Lives Matter, who took a knee for the National Anthem down there. I asked them to stop singing the Canadian National Anthem. In Coast Salish territory, anyone can sing the Coast Salish Anthem, so I asked them all to do that. And or if they want to sing the song from their own nation, to do that. And we just need to be in solidarity and remind Prime Minister Trudeau that this is our land and it's stolen, and he doesn't have a right to take our sacred sites and look at them as resources instead of looking at them the way we look at them. They're our sacred sites. You look at the two sisters in the mountains. Colonized people called them the lions, but that's our sacred land. We used to hunt in those lands. Some of our men still do. We need the fish. We need the land. We need the berries. We need the cedar. It's not for turning into poison. So as the Grand Chief said, if they continue with the tar sands, it's our death sentence. So we're here for our very lives today.
People from all walks of life came out to show their support for the cause and to stand in solidarity with Indigenous water protectors at Standing Rock. Water and land protectors reassembled on Tuesday night to demonstrate the federal government's decision to approve the $6.8 billion pipeline. It's clear that resistance to the pipeline will continue in force. Thanks for listening to this segment of Unceded Airwaves. My name is Josh Gabbert-Wyle. This segment was created on the traditional territories of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh people.
All
right. That segment was contributed by Josh from the Indigenous Collective, and we are very grateful that he went out and got some tape from that protest of the Trans Mountain Pipeline from November 19th. And so yesterday, the federal government actually announced that they were approving the Kinder Morgan Trans Mountain Pipeline expansion. And when I tuned into this, I actually tuned in from my phone. I was watching the CBC and I caught the live feed halfway through as Justin Trudeau was already speaking. And so when I first tuned in, I missed the headline. I was listening to him and he was saying all these things about, you know, we can't do these things without consent. We can't do these things without, you know, speaking to First Nations. And he's basically kind of perpetuating the rhetoric that he had during his election campaign. And so I was thinking, you know, I agree with that. We can't push through these projects. They said no to the expansion of the Trans Mountain pipeline. And then 2 minutes in, I close the live feed and I look at the headline, and the headline is actually that the Kinder Morgan Trans Mountain pipeline expansion, which transports crude bitumen oil from Edmonton to Burnaby, is actually approved. But what they did was, at the same time, they announced that they did not approve the Northern Gateway Enbridge pipeline project that it was proposed to go across the Northwest, across many of our territories here in the Indigenous Collective. And so what I felt was that he kind of like threw up this smoke screen that he was talking about. Oh, you know, we're not going to allow Enbridge to build their pipeline, which seems like a win. It seems like a win for people who have been campaigning for years and years against this. Probably, I don't know, probably longer than 6 or 7 years or so. And so when he said that, you know, it's like an automatic win. People are on board for this. But then at the same time, to approve the Kinder Morgan Trans Mountain Pipeline expansion, I just felt like that was incredibly rude. I felt like that was something that went against kind of like the liberal rhetoric or the image that that Justin Trudeau had stood up for so long, being our prime minister, newly appointed prime minister. So in relation to the announcement that had happened yesterday, I've already started. I just really felt like I needed the opportunity to rant about this. So be forewarned, there may be some crude language. No promises on that, but here it goes. So after the demonstration in Vancouver, which you heard a clip of, that demonstration saw 4,000 people rally in Vancouver. And that was made up of Indigenous and non-Indigenous people, including people from all over the region. And that's beyond Metro Vancouver. So I know people who came from Victoria, who Vancouver Island, came up and down the coast, who came to the coast from the interior. And so a lot of people came for this big demonstration to show the federal government that they did not want this pipeline to be expanded. So there were people who had come all over to rally against the pipeline expansion. And this comes after the occupation of Burnaby Mountain, where elders and protectors actually got arrested. And this comes after the government claims that they are publicly supporting the COP21 negotiations that went on. And this is all just to, this is all accumulating. And in the end, what we get is eventually another pipeline project. So I just don't understand. There is absolutely no justice on stolen land. What is justice in the Canadian state? Is it defined by the Canadian state? See, I think that's the problem. The Canadian state was not built for us. It was not built for Indigenous people. It was built for settlers. Terra Nullius claiming this as empty land, the Crown and the Royal Proclamation of 1763, Confederation of 1867, which marks Canada's beginning as a nation state. Some people call it a birthday, but I mean, the birth of a nation state. I don't know. I'm just uncomfortable with calling it a birthday. This was all done, though, without the consultation and without the consent of First Nations, the people who were here before all this. This was done without our consultation and our consent as First Nations, Métis, and Inuit people. And these pipeline projects may involve consultation with First Nations, but that's really meaningless unless you're seeking to work together towards a mutually beneficial outcome. Consent is key. But I didn't consent to these laws before they were created. I didn't consent to the Indian Act and Yet the Indian Act is still here and regulates our lives ever since 1876, and it still does regulate our lives. No one has asked us what we want. And it's not fair to gain consent when First Nations are in a position where we're just trying to make ends meet. Not all First Nations are in this position, but many First Nations are impoverished on remote reservations without access to jobs, clean water, safe housing, transportation. And I'm from the Northwest. Prince Rupert is at the very end of the Highway of Tears. And so you see all these different issues like accumulating within communities. And again, this is all regulated by the Indian Act and the Canadian state. I mean, if we had a system that allowed for self-determination, where we could decide what kind of governance structure we wanted on our own means, maybe things would be a bit different. But as it is right now, these pipeline projects just keep getting pushed through, and I don't see anything meaningful as far as consent or consultation with regards to how the Canadian state is dealing with First Nations. The Canadian state is a governance system that was created for the purpose of displacing the Indigenous people of this land, which is what we're seeing with these projects that are being pushed through. I mean, we all know that we need carbon emissions to decline faster and over less time. So how does expanding a crude oil pipeline help reduce carbon emissions? How does the Petronas LNG terminal and Pacific Northwest LNG natural gas pipeline help reduce carbon emissions? Like, don't even get me started on Catherine McKenna and pipelines being consistent with the government's reconciliation agenda. Again, you can't gain free, prior, and informed consent from First Nations and from communities if you're accessing it through a coercive manner. I mean, this happens often. The rhetoric for the needs of these pipelines is that we need to get exports to market. We need jobs. But why can't we be the market? Indigenous people are business people too, but just not in the same resource extractive ways that Canada is used to doing. Why don't we diversify the market? Why are we fixated on the land as a commodity to be exploited? I honestly do not understand this. With the LNG industry, they are literally fracturing the earth to extract natural gas and to export it to markets in Asia. So again, they're taking resources from this land, not for the purpose for us to use. It's all for the purpose to be bought and sold in other markets. And their benefit is to our detriment. It's easy to think of these processes as being super removed from us in the far off Canadian discourse, but it all relates to how we relate to land and to one another. How will we hunt and harvest when everything is poisoned from these extractive industries? You see it from fracking with the tailings pond that had ruptured up in the Northwest as well. How are we going to continue our ways of life, continue our culture, continue traditional harvesting practices when we can't eat the food that is available in our own territories? And we have energy needs too. Has anyone ever thought about us here, like locally? Well, yes, they have. But the problem is that we need more energy for resource extraction projects. Mining projects take a lot of energy. LNG extraction takes a lot of energy. We're going to need more energy for building this pipeline. Expanding this Kinder Morgan pipeline. But our need for energy is just magnified by the intense energy needs that we have from fracking and resource extraction. So how does the state propose that we're going to fix this problem? Well, the province is going to solve that problem by building a giant Site C mega dam that is going to flood First Nations territory and farmland. Like, this is just insane. Let's fix the problem with a similarly problematic solution that is just going to perpetuate the theft of Indigenous lands and increase carbon emissions. Like, this is just so backwards. And, you know, this carbon concern is not just for the rest of the Western world. Quite honestly, I don't even think that Western society even cares about carbon emissions. What I'm talking about is how this, my concern for carbon is going to relate to global Indigenous people. A rising global temperature is known to affect Indigenous populations that are already the most susceptible. through very extreme weather patterns. I mean, people who live close to the equator, where there can be more extreme weather conditions. I'm talking about rural indigenous populations that literally rely on the land for their sustenance, relying on food crops to feed their families, not buying their food from the global food system that imports avocados, bananas, persimmon from international markets. I mean, that's just another import-export scheme that is ruining the planet and contributing to all these issues that I am talking about right now. And I think all these things are just, these things have been just accumulating in my mind about how they're all connected together. This isn't just about one pipeline expansion. This is connected to the occupation in the Lakota Territory with Standing Rock. I mean, they're fighting a similar battle down there that we are trying to fight here locally. Everything is very much connected. In Canada, we are governed by the Canadian state, which is a settler state. I can't say that they have our best interests in mind all the time, and they're facing the exact same thing in the U.S. right now. So to think that, you know, this is just one pipeline expansion, well, no, it's not. It's just one of multiple things that are just building up over time. And so this just infuriates me. This is exactly how I felt in September when Petronas was approved by the federal government as well. I remember hearing that snap decision. I think I was actually in a Safeway, and I'd seen that someone had posted on Facebook that there was an announcement being made about the Petronas LNG facility that is actually proposed for my territory, and that's going to be just outside of Prince Rupert on Leelu Island, which is at the heart of the Skeena Estuary. So when I heard that news, I remember being caught off guard, watching it come in, and just being completely awestruck at the fact that the federal government would actually allow this to happen. And I just keep seeing it happen again and again. You know, that happened, then there's the Kinder Morgan pipeline expansion, you have the Standing Rock occupation. It's not a one-off. It's an ongoing systemic issue that needs to be addressed. And I'm sorry if this rant is very radical, but I honestly feel like we need a radical solution. So anyway, that was my rant. I just felt like I needed to address this. And so we're going to play a song here, and then next up we're going to have another segment, so stay with us.
In this Lakota Sioux, all red, everything, red nation rising, yeah. Revising our story, they're televising, yeah. Child of the plains, I see 2020, yeah. Poverty porn, TV pimpers for money, nah. Tell Diane Sawyer, I am a warrior, yeah. Give me your camera, send pal to your lawyer, free all my people, get them out of prison, yeah. Take them to Sundance, show them how we're living, right. Give youth an outlet, disadvantaged prodigies, feed these Republicans all our commodities, put them on the reds from the day they're born, they won't survive cause their cancer is airborne. Put them in our schools, put them in our shoes, take away their money and give them our booze. Red, make everything red, words of my ancestors up in my head, yeah. Food for thought, our kids underfed, your oil is mud, they want the earth dead. Oil for blood, making you rich, you soil my love. Oil for blood, my mother is clean, that oil is mud. Keystone, everything's red, pipeline, now everything's dead. Keystone, everything's red, pipeline, now everything's dead. Everything's red, everything's red, 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 dead, red, dead, red. I can't afford to leave the res. Government has got me trapped. The leadership need a tip, and most of my tribal leaders whack. They don't wanna hear that, they just wanna chill. I'm sick, I'll go to IHS and get a pill. For real, like a song without a title. Yeah. Feel forgotten, like slaves picking the cotton. Forever tribal, with no connection to the Bible. Lying, people rotting, sometimes I'm suicidal. Feeling like no exit, generation X shit. Text messaging and sex, what I connect with. Technology, get this world to acknowledge me. My ancestors studied numbers and astrology. Lakota philosophy, keep them haters off of me. Keystone XL, you smell like an atrocity. To my home and my ancestors, I'm loyal. Build that pipeline and I'm burning down your oil. Oil for blood, oil for blood. Making you rich, you soil my love. Oil for blood, oil for blood. My mother is clean, that oil is mud. Keystone, everything's red. Pipeline, now everything's dead. Keystone, everything's red. Pipeline, now everything's dead. Everything's red, everything's red. Red, red, red. Dead. Red, dead. Red.
October Discorder.
Put it down now. And give me my
November issue.
That's right. Stop reading the October issue of Discorder now. Pick up November's Discorder for features on Ichuda, Media Democracy Days, Tim the Mute, Safe Amp Society, Want, and Seekers International. Plus, interviews with the organizers of the James Black Gallery, comedian Sophie Bundle, and more. Thanks to this month's advertisers, Vinyl Records, The Rickshaw Theater, Zipcar, Jazz Records, Live Van, The Astoria, Don't Argue, The Rio Theater, Timber Concerts, Unit, Pit, Mint Records, and The Wise Hall. Pick up an issue of Discorder around town or read online at discorder.ca.
Well, well, well.
Tune in to La Fiesta every other Sunday from 3 to 5 p.m. with your host, Nick Arana. Listen to internationally acclaimed Musica Latina Caliente that makes your body move and your heart beat.
All right, you heard Oil for Blood just before the break. My name is Lisa Gerbov, and you just heard me ranting about how I feel about resource extraction just before the break there as well. But in that discussion that I kind of started, I also mentioned that the 150th anniversary of the Canadian Federation is coming up next year. So that's in 2017. And so I wanted to rebroadcast an excerpt from a speech by George Erasmus when he spoke to a conference held by the Secretary of State in Ottawa in 1989. George Erasmus is Dene from the Northwest Territories and was the National Chief of the Assembly of First Nations from 1985 until 1991. So just imagine that this speech is leading up to Canada's 125th birthday, whatever you want to call it. And so this actually aired on the CBC on October 16th, 1989. This is George Erasmus.
What are we going to celebrate? Are we going to celebrate that it took until 1959 before we could vote in this country? Are we going to celebrate that it took until 1968 that we could vote in Quebec? What are we going to celebrate? Are we going to celebrate the fact that our Aboriginal languages are not considered important enough in this country to be regarded in any legal way? Are we going to celebrate the fact that there's not a single court in this country where if only the only language you speak is an Indigenous language, you don't have any legal rights there? And but you will be forced to operate in French and English? What are we going to celebrate? I don't like what has happened over the last 500 years, 125 years. I couldn't do a lot about it. Let's say the majority of the people in this room, in this country, couldn't do anything about it. But what are we going to do about the next 500 years? What are we going to do about the next 10 years? So that when the year 2000 comes around, there are some differences. What are we going to do about the poverty amongst Native people? We don't like it when Canadians are unemployed. We're concerned when we're around 10% and more. We're concerned when there's a million people in this country that are unemployed. But what about when 90% of your people are unemployed? I don't think we have a solitary thing that we should be celebrating about unless we are going to do something different in the future. It's really time for some change. It's really time that the European people and their descendants and the rest that are here, that are now Canadians, seriously begin to address the basic relationship they have with this land and the people that were here first. We can do things differently in this country. We can be leaders for the world. We criticize Africa, Southern Africa, and the racism that is seen there. And yet we have no examples at home. The problem they're having in South Africa is descendants of European people trying to wrestle with how they are going to live with an indigenous population. In that case, the indigenous people are the majority. And so there's paranoia in that white race that's there. But what's your paranoia? We're the minority here. Why can we not deal here with the problems that we criticize South Africa about? Why can we not have a situation here where Native people have enough land and enough control over their lives that they can have some dignity? We have no reason to criticize anybody else. We have no examples to show the world. But it can be different. And it must be different. Or the next couple of decades will not be the French-English problem. That will not be your problem. You cannot continue to have a situation where people are lined up to get to the negotiating table. And maybe in 30 years, maybe in 40 years, they will begin to negotiate. You cannot continue to contain that situation. What we have now in the way land is being dealt with in this country, we have treaties that are hundreds of years old that are supposedly protected by the highest law in this country, the Constitution. And we have not yet fulfilled the land requirement in those constitutional legal documents. Can you think of any other people amongst us that we would have that kind of legal document and we would still, 100 years later, be talking about whether we should fulfill that? It only could happen. It only could happen to Native people. It certainly would never happen to the Anglos. And the time has come, and thank God to them that they have the power now. It would not anymore ever happen to the French. It was an insult to the First Nations when the premiers and the prime minister of this country could walk out of a room that they were locked into long after midnight, and they were going to tell the world that there were two founding people, that there were two distinct societies. My God Almighty, those men were the same men, the majority of them, for the 5 years previous that people like myself had been meeting with. And yet they had the audacity or the ignorance to come out of there and not recognize that Canada nowhere else in this world do the indigenous people from here call home. And if we are not distinct here, where in the hell are we distinct? I believe we can do something different. We want to do something different. We are sick and tired of coming to events like this and being your conscience. Absolutely sick and tired of it. We'd love nothing more than to be able to go around and dance and feel good about ourselves. But by God, we have...
Okay, so you heard a speech from George Erasmus of the Dene Nation. He was...
Okay, so you just heard a speech from George Erasmus of the Dene Nation. He was the National Chief of the Assembly of First Nations from 1985 to 1991. And this speech led up to Canada's 125th birthday celebration and aired on CBC on October 16th, 1989. So next we have a song from a tribe called Red called Alai Nation.
The Halusa Nation. The human beings. The people. See the spiritual in the natural, through sense and feeling. Everything is related. All the things of earth and in the sky have spirit. Everything is sacred. Confronted by the alien nation, the subjects and the citizens see the material religions through trauma and numb. Nothing is related. All the things of the earth and in the sky have energy to be exploited. Even themselves, mining their spirits into souls sold. Into nothing is sacred, not even their self. The Alai Nation, alien nation.
You just were listening to Alai Nation by a tribe called Red, and you are listening to Unceded Airwaves on CITR's 101.9 FM, broadcasting from the traditional, ancestral, and unceded lands of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people. And so next we have some unceded events coming up for you. And so the first one is actually the First Nations Studies Student Association wants to invite you to their winter feast. And so this is a fundraiser for the third annual powwow coming up, and the event will feature a selection of Indigenous performers, including Victor Guring, Crystal Smith, Soul Diana, and also an Indigenous fashion show by All My Relations Entertainment and Aboriginal Threads, Chinook Songcatchers, Coastal Wolfpack, and Baker Family, as well as dancers of Damela Hamid. Sorry if I said that wrong. So this event is happening on Thursday, December 1st, from 5:30 to 9 p.m. at the UBC Longhouse. And entry will be by donation. And you can find out more information on their Facebook event page.
I think that's the dancers of Damela Hamid. And
oh,
they're
thank you.
So, they're so phenomenal. They're like a fantastic dance group. I hope one day I can be as good of a dancer. But, you know, goals, right?
Yeah.
So also on our unceded events listing, tomorrow you can join Grand Chief Stuart Phillip at the Global Day of Solidarity with Standing Rock. That is tomorrow night in Vancouver, December 1st. They're going to be marching from bank to bank along West Georgia. They're going to be listening to speakers, handing out information on how to take action against banks that are invested in the Dakota Access Pipeline. And they're also going to be posting up messages for the bank's customers and staff and collect donations to support a bus and supplies going down to Standing Rock. And we know that they do definitely need supplies for getting ready for the winter. But that's all the time that we have for today's show. Thanks for being with me and co-hosting again, Nikita.
My pleasure.
It's so much fun having like a girl team on the air.
Yeah.
It's awesome. So today we had myself. My name is Lisa Gerbov. Nikita Shaw was here in Nikita Day was here in the studio with me. And
me.
we also had a contribution from Josh, who gave us that audio clip from the Kinder Morgan protest. And we also had George Erasmus on the air,
yes,
although that was an archival clip. So technically he wasn't here with us. But we had quite a few contributions today. But that's all the time that we have for Unceded Airwaves. Coming up is Muzak for The Observant with Emily. And it's sure to be a great show. So stay with us. To get us out, we have Mob Bounce with Culture.
We call her Mother Earth, to whom we are our indigenous. A lot lost the inner bliss and don't know what the vision is. Elders, the stories embedded in our hearts. Sit and listen, kids. The stories are valuable lessons that bring deliverance. For me and for you, no separateness. We scour through aggression because we focus on what's different. We all want the same thing. We want to love with a bitterness of innocence. The cure is the essence in this. Even words I write can't fully explain the feeling within this. Like a tribe called every spin this. We tribesmen whose redness could be called out three times like the Redskins. Whether I speak this in crazy, it's within place to get in. Yes, ridiculous. We're limitless with every bit of this. We better tattle with hot hats and kicks. We get a northwest here. My bounce is definite, infinite. Like we said, we hold the light and we listen it. We are the culture and we live in there. We live in there. Oh. If you understood history the way I did, maybe you wouldn't like the life you live. Maybe you'll be the change you wanna see and make your loved ones wine and dream. There will come a scheme so fishy that the fish blowing down the stream will stop being value system disorder and digression. Turning tools into weapons. It is time to step in with the sense that is loving and protecting through a gesture of perfection. Your soul crept in when you released the feelings that you kept in. I said it's time to step in. For are you sleepy as who slept in? I re-say the replay. No DJ to let that deck spin. Carrying forward life lessons. So the way that your spirit carries lessons. Love is the answer no matter what the question. But if they're peaceful protesting, where officers arrest them, the system of things is designed to protect them. And this planet that they're wrecking, as long as they make it rain when the check's in, this justified oppression. Ooh. We hold the light and we lift it. We're lifting it. We are the culture and we live in it. Children are coming together to make amends for the people who do wrong. Hopefully they choose the path we on. We have creator's message, pass it along. We gather the song, music got the power to make the weakest strong. The bleakest is gone, mommy. We see the light in the dust, so it dawned on me that we are answering the prophecy. That's what our ancestors manifested for our babies. That's what our ancestors manifested for our babies.
You're listening to CITR